Please welcome Stephen Leonard, Chief Executive, IBM, UK and Ireland.
Well, good morning, and welcome to day five at the IBM Summit at Stark. We've been convening this summit for businesses, organisations, academia, charities, NGOs, to come and have a discussion and a debate about what a sustainable future could look like. It's part of the overall START initiative from His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales, and Sir Tom, who I'm going to introduce later, will give you a little bit of context about what that's about. In the 4 days before you've all arrived here, we've had lots of leaders and lots of very important people from across industry and across academia and, of course, from the government. We've had government ministers, we've had bishops, we've had former mayors of London, and we've also had the privilege and the pleasure of His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales coming here, standing on this stage, and sharing with us some of his thoughts about what a sustainable future could look like. Lancaster House, where we're all sitting right now, is actually quite a historic building as well. For the last two centuries, it's actually been a place where people have come to discuss and debate. People such as the Earl of Shaftesbury, who was a famous factory reformer back at the turn of the last century, Harriet Beecher Stowe, who was a very well-known anti-slavery authoress, and of course, in the last, more recently, we had the leaders of the G7 nations who actually came and met in this room in 1984 and again in 1991. So you're all very welcome. I know it's a Sunday, so thank you for taking your time on a Sunday to join us. Now, it's been said that capitalism and sustainability cannot coexist. We fundamentally disagree. What's clear is that only appealing to the conscience of organizations, businesses, and individuals is not having the long-term impact that we require it to have. But if you can create enlightened self-interest around what sustainable projects can do in terms of delivering real, tangible business benefits, we believe that long-term progress can be made. And in the first 4 days of this summit, we've been asking the business leaders and leaders of charities, of academia, of government, not just what those organizations will do for sustainability, and that's a very important question for those people to answer, but more, what can sustainability do for those organizations? It's a very different question to the one that we've been asking. And what all of those leaders and all of those people have agreed is that right now is the time to act. Right now. Nobody has debated or discussed that point. The last 10 years, or the last decade, I should say, we all agreed was full of a disillusionment and discussion about a host of things, social, economic, and societal. And therefore, this decade, the decade we're in right now, has to be one of action and decision. We've learned some incredible things about what that means. We're calling this decade the decade of smart. Now, why are we calling it smart? Because the world that we all live in today and the systems that make the world work, whether they be natural systems such as water or man-made systems such as transport or other systems such as health, security, supply chains, and all the other systems that make this world work, today are infused with literally billions of devices that are instrumented, interconnected, and intelligent. And here's a really staggering little thought for you. The transistor which powers those devices is now more numerous on the planet that we live on than grains of rice. Grains of rice. Now, I'm not sure who commissioned that piece of research or what their purpose was, but it truly is a staggering thought, and it gives an indication of the complexity that we have in our world. And how can we leverage those interconnected, intelligent, and instrumented devices to get more efficiency and more effectiveness in the systems that run the world, and therefore produce less waste, be made to be made again, as Dame Ellen put it in her video, and produce a more sustainable economy, a more sustainable society, and of course, a much more sustainable environment. And the one thing that all of the people that have met here for the last 4 days have agreed upon is that last piece. How do we produce a more sustainable economic outcome? Because economic growth is important. It is important. But in so doing, produce a more sustainable society and therefore a more sustainable environment. The issue that that complexity brings, and we've had the discussion in the prior 4 days, and if you want to understand what we discussed in the last 4 days, there's a really simple way of doing it in the break, which is go look at these pictorials, which have basically charted the discussions of the days. And there are two gentlemen sitting up here from an organization called Skyberia, and they're going to be doing the same for our discussion and debate today. Go and look at them. There are certain new challenges that organizations and businesses and governments have never had to think about before. First of all, in these complex systems, no one organization owns the end-to-end. Nobody does. There's no one government department. There's no one business. Apple don't own it. Google don't own it. Nobody owns the end-to-end. So the challenge is, how do you get all of the people that can influence the outcome and make decisions that change things to collaborate better together for a much better outcome? And finally, the one thing that all of these days has put ahead of anything else has been, how do we reach out to the man on the street, the citizen, who in today's world of social media and communication and Twitter and text and everything else, expect and demand more support, more engagement with the organizations that serve them and the organizations that they themselves serve. This has been the real focus of our debate. Are we literally changing the lives of the people on the street? Some incredible things that we learn. The apple that you buy from the supermarket shelf or the corner shop in Britain today has traveled 3,700 miles to get there. 3,700. I mean, think about that. So how can we produce a supply chain that is much more efficient and effective than that? Why? Why does it need to travel 3,700 miles? There's no logical reason that I can personally think of. And I'm sure there's smarter people in this room than me, and maybe there are reasons. But I believe that even if you can half that mileage, think about the impact that that has on this concept of economic sustainability, social sustainability, and environmental sustainability. If it travels half the miles, it needs half the energy consumed to get it from A to B. And therefore, there's a dramatic reduction in the energy required the CO2s that are emitted in transporting it, and of course, the cost. Another great example is that British businesses every single year lose £8 billion. £8 billion, that's a lot of money, right? It's a lot of money. £8 billion. Maybe to some of the Premier League football teams it's not a lot, but it's a lot of money to me. £8 billion are lost. Productivity lost due to delay and congestion in the transportation system. Again, think of the impact that saving 20% on people's travel times just from A to B could have. 20%. 20% sounds like an achievable number to me. Does it sound like an achievable number to you guys? Sounds like an achievable number to me. Maybe we should be saving 50 or 60%. And then think of the impact that that has. Socially, obviously. Economically, because less, you know, energy is consumed. And of course, environmentally. And that's what we mean about this debate, about how you bring those three things together. Because without those three things, attacking each of those individual items on their own is very, very dangerous. And it's what we've been doing for the last 20 or 30 years. The debate about our impact on the environment is not something new. His Royal Highness has been talking about it for nearly 20 years. If you go back and look at speeches that His Royal Highness has made over the last 15 to 20 years, you will see him constantly talk about sustainable farming, about sustainable supply and food chains. And he's not alone. He wasn't the only person out there. And when he was here on Thursday, he posed the question, why take the risk? That people have been asking him, why would you put yourself out there, Your Royal Highness? Because you don't need to. And the one thing that he said, and it's been true of everybody that's come through the doors here in the last 4 days, has been, he said, I will risk everything for the sake of my children and my grandchildren and the future generations. Very inspiring thought. What we all concluded in the first 4 days is that organizations that do this well and do it properly will thrive and grow. And those who choose not to, those who think that they don't have to do something, that they can purely focus on economic, or in fact, if you're a government or an academic organization, that you can purely focus on social or purely focus only on environmental. The organizations that choose to do that rather than bring the whole thing together will be the organizations that don't survive. Today is a little bit different from what we've been doing, but certainly no less important. It's about Start Young. It's about what you, the youth of this country, want to have happen. What do you want to see from a more sustainable future? We often ask, in a very patronising way, I think, people often talk about, what sort of planet are we going to leave to our children? We never ask, what sort of children are we going to leave to our planet? And this is why today's debate is more important than almost every other single day of the 9 days that we're going to be here. every company that has sat in the chairs that you've sat in, that you're sitting in right now, has referred to this issue around bringing the youth of today, the younger generation, into shaping the outcome of the future. We learned some stunningly jaw-dropping, shocking things over the last couple of days. 1 in 6 school leavers at 16 years old, those that leave school at 16, 1 in 6 of them in this country can't read or write. Cannot read or write. And that in London, here, in London, in probably one of the most modern cities in the world, more than 4,000 people die every year due to poor air quality. Shocking. And we've been asking and demanding of the people that have come here that the decisions that we choose to make going forward and the actions that we choose to take, because this is about choice. This isn't about being forced to do A or B. It's about choice. But in doing and in making those choices, are we literally changing the lives of people? So today, I'm asking a slightly different question. For the first 4 days, we were asking the people in this room to answer the question, not just what businesses and organizations will do for sustainability, an important question to answer, but what sustainability can do for those organizations. Today, I'm going to ask the question that Dame Ellen asked. And I want you to take this with you throughout the discussion and debate today. Assume nothing, question everything, and rethink the future.